This episode is sponsored by IM8. Looking after yourself doesn't necessarily have to mean adding more and more things to your day. If anything, for me, the simpler I can make something, the better. And that's what I really like about IM8's Daily Ultimate Essentials. Co-founded by David Beckham and built by leading doctors and researchers, it combines 16 supplements designed to support 9 major organ systems all in one drink. I don't need a drawer full of different bottles or a complicated regime. It's just one drink I take each morning. And I like knowing I'm giving my body a good foundation for the day ahead. In fact, a clinical trial conducted by the San Francisco Research Institute found that 95% of people who tried IM8 for 12 weeks reported feeling more energy. And if you want to simplify your supplements too, I've found IM8 a really easy way to cover a lot of bases, and I definitely recommend giving it a try. Go to im8health.com/nation right now, or click on the link in the description and use the code NATION for a free welcome kit, 5 free travel sachets, plus 10% off your order. That's code NATION at im8health.com/nation. Code NATION at im8health.com/nation. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. This episode is sponsored by Indeed. Building a great team is never easy. If you're a small business, hoping the right people see your job posting isn't the best growth strategy. When the pressure's on and you need the right hire, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Because when you're hiring, you don't just want more applicants, you want the right applicants. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's because it helps you reach candidates that meet your specific criteria, such as skills, certifications, or location from the word go, boosting your job post in search results so you can reach the people that help your business thrive. So spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all of your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. This episode is sponsored by Honda. Since its first Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix, Honda has always taken what's learned on the track and used it to build better cars for everyone. From pushing limits in F1 to engineering the next generation of hybrids like the Prelude Hybrid and Civic Sedan Hybrid, Honda proves that racing doesn't just inspire innovation, it drives it. And that idea of taking lessons from the racetrack and applying them to road cars has always been a part of Honda's DNA. Decades of engineering in the demanding world of Formula One have helped shape the performance and efficiency you see in Honda's road cars today. And now that same thinking is shaping the next generation of hybrids as well. Cars like the 2026 Prelude Hybrid and Civic Hybrid show that electrification can be both efficient and genuinely fun to drive. The 2026 Prelude Hybrid and Civic Sedan Hybrid are engineered for fun. From the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Prelude and Civic and the latest innovations at Honda.com. Welcome to the Madring, Formula One's newest track in the heart of Madrid and hosting the Spanish Grand Prix for the very first time this weekend. This is F1 Nation with me, Tom Clarkson, and F1 TV lead commentator, Alex Jakes. Jakesy, great to have you on the show again. How excited are you to be in Madrid and commentating on a new circuit?
Oh, I love a new circuit, and this one is more unusual than most, TC. So I think this is going to provide a very different challenge when you've got some of the best drivers in the world saying that they're struggling in the sim to put good laps together back to back. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a mistake generator, and great to be in a new city. The last time I came to Madrid was when I was into railing as a teenager. So nice to come back all these years later. And yeah, it is going. It promises to be an action-packed weekend.
And one of the lovely things is that you walk into this enormous paddock here, and the first thing you see is the Gilles Villeneuve Ferrari that won the last race here in Madrid, which was at the Jarama circuit back in 1981. So you've got that historical link from 45 years ago right there staring at you.
That's an all-time great win. We've come off the back of Monza, an all-time great win. That Villeneuve holding four faster drivers at bay, that's a classic. So always cool to see classic machinery.
Jake, see, I think we should start this by talking more about the racetrack. What sort of challenges, with the drivers you've spoken to so far today, what's the vibe you're getting?
I think the putting one lap together is not concerning. I think it's the consistency of doing that across a race distance. Huge amount of fuel in the back. I think that is going to, under the pressure of early laps, going to provide an issue. And also, you're not sure what the surface is going to do. There are some parts of the circuit where it is very, very much a pinch point. Turn five, you don't want to be on the outside of turn five on lap one. Very tricky. Certain angles of the barriers are not going to allow for any sort of wide moment in the early laps. And then it's the repetition of can you find the limit and can you do it without pinging the barriers? It's going to be unforgiving. Is the easiest way.
But isn't that what we like in Formula One?
It's a different thing, isn't it? It's a different test. I think when you've got a little bit of the energy's changing all the time and your braking points aren't the same every single week and you're learning a new track and you're trying to find the consistency and it's a new surface, so it won't be at the grippiest level. As an ingredients list, it is going to be very, very challenging for the best drivers in the world, which is great for us, but I think there's going to be a red flag or five across the course of the weekend.
Now, can I ask you about one corner in particular? It's called, now how's my Spanish accent?
Here we go.
Monumental.
Oh, beautiful.
It's
nailed it.
270 degrees. It's 24 degree gradient. So it's got sort of final corner at Zandvoort vibes about it. What's your take on that?
Love that you've got the possibility for different racing lines. It looks extraordinary. Even though we've not put cars on the racetrack yet, it looks incredible. Because you have grandstands on both sides. When you think the great corners that we normally have, you have grandstands at one point. So atmosphere, I think it's going to be astonishing. Brilliant for the snappers and getting a brand new corner and so much to work with there. But I think even with the reduced downforce of this new regulation set, I think they're going to be pretty comfortably flat by the time that we get to qualifying.
Well, let's wait and see. I caught up with Bernd Mailander, the safety car driver, after his first laps earlier this afternoon. Monumental is not flat in the safety car.
I bet it isn't.
And he was loving it, I have to say. Well, what about the on-track action? Why don't we start with Mercedes? And Jake C, you were commentating from England last weekend, so we didn't get to speak to you after that sensational win by Kimi Antonelli. Just can we start with your thoughts on that?
It's incredible. I was thinking on the last lap, got two unbelievable things happening here, maybe three. Statement driving the championship that if we get to the end of the year and we're looking at the retrospective, that's a defining day. If that's the moment where he goes on to win his first title in only his second year, that is hugely significant. The hammer blow against your championship rival in any year, that's one thing. To win from 19th on the grid, preposterous. Only one win from further back in the entire history of Formula One. Started in 1950, ridiculous. But then to end the wait for Monza to see a home winner, for all of that to happen in the same race, absolutely wild. And one of the few times I've ever held the microphone going, what order am I going to do this in? What's the most significant thing? So incredible. And it's the sort of day that just goes straight into folklore. All the cliches are true. And we'll be talking about it for decades to come.
How many drivers on the grid in that car could have replicated that performance at Monza? Max Verstappen, maybe?
You've got to be great. That's why it was significant. You can't be very good and do that. And it was fantastic. There's a great bit where Jolyon in the commentary box was setting up the stakes He's saying he's got to do half a second a lap for a lot of laps up against a proven race winner, and he's got a clear world champion, guy that finished third. Like, he said it all up. He had so much to do. He didn't just do it, did it easily. Only great drivers are capable of doing that, and that's the bracket he elevated himself into with that win.
And he's now got that 66-point lead over teammate George Russell. I mean, is there anything George Russell can do to stop his teammate becoming world champion?
Yes, there is. And what I thought was interesting was he gave it to you in the post-race presser, because I was interested in his mood, and I hadn't seen it, so I was reading the transcript of what he said to you afterwards, and I wondered whether he would get into the mindset that he needed to, or whether it would be waffle answers. Sometimes a driver, when they have a defeat like that, can be a bit punch drunk afterwards. And he said the thing that I think is his only hope of staying in the fight: Kimi deserves to be out front. He's done a better job. All I can focus on is winning races. If he focuses on winning races and gets one breakthrough, you have no idea what pressure can do to the other side of the garage. You have no idea what races are going to be wet. You have no idea what races are going to have a clash on the first lap. Can you just get back to being a threat to win a Grand Prix? If you can do it once, you can build a run of form. We saw how the season started with 5 in a row for Kimi. The problem for George is not the points. The problem for George is he has not reached the level of performance that he would have expected week in, week out. So he can take it weekend by weekend, one of the greatest cliches in this sport. But if he can find a breakthrough in performance, this title isn't over. Until he looks like the Russell of last year.
How far away is he from the Russell of last year?
The conviction, you watch trackside with Kimi Antonelli, he's at the extremity of the circuit, that car is in vivid motion. You know that he's getting the most out of it. George, to me, feels like a driver at 97%. And you don't win titles at 97%. Sometimes you have to play the percentages. But I don't think he can access the entirety of his talent. I still think there's a search going on there. And that, I think, is the difference. If he can get back to finding the peak performance, then he's still got a chance. But that is still an ongoing search.
You know how race teams at this time of year are saying, well, you know, do we focus on next year's car yet? Do we keep developing the current one? I wonder somehow if that applies to George Russell as well. Is the rest of this season for him all about getting himself ready for 27?
It could be. And to go back to the previous battle in Mercedes history, Rosberg once finished a season with all those wins in a row, laid the foundation for his title winning year, had taken a kicking, had been well beaten in both of those seasons, 14 and 15, closed out 15, Hamilton had won the title, job done, closes out the season with a load of wins, lays the foundation stone to win the title in 2016. He's not there yet, but equally, George is a smart driver, knows the reality, knows what's happening across the garage, sees the momentum. He's not into that mindset yet, but that might be where he ends up.
And in terms of performance this weekend in Madrid, after such an emphatic weekend in Monza, do Mercedes start as favourites here in Spain?
Mercedes start as favourites everywhere we go, Tom.
Well, you're true.
That's the
well,
nature
except,
of it.
Look at the performance of McLaren in the two races prior to Monza.
And you're absolutely right, but we're still comparing everyone at the start of the weekend to Mercedes. We know Ferrari are going to have a good day across the course of the year. We know that Lando is, again, we're talking about the accessing all of the talent. We saw that in Budapest. We saw that, amazingly, in Zandvoort. How many times was he playing the percentages in his title winning year? There's just elements of it. He's completely unleashed, so he's going to be a factor. But Mercedes, in most places we go, start on the Friday as the team to beat.
Right, they are the benchmark. Do you think McLaren will be closer here than they were at Monza?
Much closer.
It feels more like a sort of Zandvoorty.
It's a total curveball, though, because you can have all the simulations in the world, but there are always differences. You speak to engineers, you speak to mechanics, you speak to strategists up and down the paddock. You know, there's always going to be an element. Like, did anyone really know how tight the pit exit was going to be here? Yeah, you know it's going to be 550 metres long, But drivers might have to brake on that pit exit. All right, that's then a difference. Think back to Paul Ricard all those years ago when Verstappen made the difference on the end lap. That's the sort of pit lane that we've got here. Did the sims show that? Or did they show an easy accelerate back onto the racetrack? So there's these minor points that they're going to find out on Friday, and then it's then we'll get obviously a better idea. But it's a total curveball of a racetrack.
Yeah. We think still, though, that McLaren will be closer. Yep. And Red Bull too.
Yep.
With Max Verstappen, you can never discount them.
He's always in the hunt, isn't he? Yeah. He's always in the hunt. And then, yeah, you've got a lot of mechanical grip corners. So Ferrari, edge closer as well.
This episode is sponsored by IM8. Looking after yourself doesn't necessarily have to mean adding more and more things to your day. If anything, for me, the simpler I can make something, the better. And that's what I really like about IM8's Daily Ultimate Essentials. Co-founded by David Beckham and built by leading doctors and researchers, it combines 16 supplements designed to support 9 major organ systems all in one drink. I don't need a drawer full of different bottles or a complicated regime. It's just one drink I take each morning. And I like knowing I'm giving my body a good foundation for the day ahead. In fact, a clinical trial conducted by the San Francisco Research Institute found that 95% of people who tried IM8 for 12 weeks reported feeling more energy. And if you want to simplify your supplements too, I've found IM8 a really easy way to cover a lot of bases, and I definitely recommend giving it a try. Go to im8health.com/nation right now, or click on the link in the description and use the code NATION for a free welcome kit, 5 free travel sachets, plus 10% off your order. That's code NATION at im8health.com/nation. Code NATION at im8health.com/nation. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. This episode is sponsored by Indeed. Building a great team is never easy. If you're a small business, hoping the right people see your job posting isn't the best growth strategy. When the pressure's on and you need the right hire, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Indeed Sponsored Jobs gets you quality candidates when you need them most. Because when you're hiring, you don't just want more applicants, you want the right applicants. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. That's because it helps you reach candidates that meet your specific criteria, such as skills, certifications, or location from the word go, boosting your job post in search results so you can reach the people that help your business thrive. So spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all of your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Lewis Hamilton made a lot of headlines after Monza when he raised the topic of rules of engagement following his opening lap battle with Charles Leclerc. After a few days to reflect, here's what the Ferrari drivers said today.
The Turn 2 incident is not something we ever want to see again. And for that, I mean, obviously reviewing the images, it's pretty clear that I could have done a better job just slowing down the car and not putting Lewis then in a difficult situation. So this is something I can learn from, for sure. We spoke with Lewis. We've always had a great relationship. I have a lot of respect for Lewis. And I told him in Turn 2 I didn't behave the way I should have and the way a teammate should. And it happens when you are super motivated. Lewis is super motivated, I'm super motivated, and we all try to do our best. And sometimes you go a step too far, which I did, and I will retune that in order for it to not happen again in the future.
I think we've got a good racing relationship, and I think the fact that we are grown-ups and are able to communicate with each other, which we have, I'm really firstly happy that he's really healthy and he's back here this weekend, because we need him in the fight to to challenge Mercedes together. And the great thing, I think, you know, there is all this discussion about communication and just like execution and stuff, but the communication between John and Benedetto and Fred and his drivers are really, really great. You know, we all sit down and talk afterwards and squash it and move on. So nothing like lingers, nothing, you know, we're just looking forward to how we can work better together.
Jakesy, what do you do if you're Fred Vasseur and your seven-time world champion driver is saying, hello, rules of engagement, can we write something down, please? Do you write it down? Or do you just say, no, this is how we do it here. We don't do it the Mercedes way. We do it the Ferrari way.
It's interesting because Fred Vasseur has had rules of engagement when he's been a team principal in the past. I know that for a fact. So I wonder perhaps whether there are rules of engagement that Lewis might want updating. They had rules of engagement at Mercedes, he said. Quite right. Do you remember what happened at Mercedes? Even take out the crashes. I'm not referring to the crashes between Hamilton and Rosberg, but there are, and you can go back and see them right now, so many moments where they were across each other's front wings, really on the edge. The rules of engagement were there and readily ignored. But I understand that if you have a chance of a podium at Monza and you are in the gravel, a lap one, there is never going to be a Formula One world champion who is happy about that fact. They do seem to race each other fairly intensely at the moment.
But don't all the Ferrari drivers, even Leclerc and Sainz?
Yeah.
Carlos said in the press conference today, he said there would always be three or four times in a season where Charles and I would fall out over an incident. Just kind of what happens.
But that was Fred's, almost part of Fred's liberation of Ferrari, wasn't it? That he was going to let them race. That they weren't going to get bogged down on this. You want the place, you get the place. None of this invert the cars, none of this mess around. To be honest, away from Ferrari's traditional number one, number two DNA.
All right, Jakesy, yeah. You're a man who's seen a lot of racing in your time. Do you think Charles Leclerc was outrageous with what he did on lap one at Monza, you know?
No, but I think when he stuck it in the barrier later in the lap, he would have known what was coming in terms of the reaction from Lewis. In terms of the response, I think that's why he held his hands up in his comments today in the media pen. So I think as a result, he would have known what was coming. This is just the nature of, in 2025, Lewis Hamilton was not the Lewis Hamilton that we know. In 2026, he's a contender again. And so the simplicity of the natural order at Ferrari is completely melted away. They've got two number ones. They've got incredibly quick drivers and statistically the greatest driver of all time in terms of wins, podiums, poles, every stat. So what a glorious luxury problem without any easy answers, in truth. Because they've given Charles a contract for years and years and years and years. And there are plenty of teams that would have loved to have got the signature of Charles Leclerc. So they've done that. And then you've got Lewis going, well, you brought me here. And I signed up for it, and he didn't sign up for the occasional win. He signed up to win titles. So there's some money to be earned for Fred Vasseur.
Lewis is looking at bigger picture here, right? I don't think he's talking about wheel-to-wheel racing into turn one. I think this is more about my position in the team versus Charles' position in the team. I am proving this year that I am your best bet. I think that is what Lewis Hamilton is saying. Can we please have a Schumacher-Barrichello situation going forward is what he wants, isn't it?
If the situation... He's talked a lot about the fact that, well, there's no point in doing it now. That ship sailed. And I think you're on to a point where... I think they deep down know that Mercedes were always going to win this title with the drivers and the constructors. I think it's more that engine is going to be developed for next year. I think there's more laying the foundation for, hey, if this happens again... And I'm your best bet. Are we really going to repeat this if it happens again? Because he knows he's running out of years. It's as simple as that. He is in a race against time.
Give me next year, give Charles the year after.
No, I don't think it's as clear as that. But I think it's if I look like your best bet and I've done the winning and I'm the lead driver in the championship, in that scenario, if it repeats like we've seen in 26 into 27, he clearly wants the priority... if he gets himself into that position. And I think at the moment, he knows that wouldn't happen because of the dynamic. Charles got the long-term contract,
So Lewis,
they've got to keep the peace.
If Charles has the better start to 2027, you, Lewis, are you prepared to support him in his quest for his first world title?
This is why Ferrari had a clear number one in the Michael Schumacher era and a clear number two, because you burn a lot of energy going through this that you're not spending on other parts of your weekend, and the management of the drivers, that's why the TPs get paid the big bucks. But this is tricky, because they're not going to be separated. Lewis at his best, Charles at his best, they're not going to be separated by a huge margin. And you saw what that nearly cost McLaren the title with one of them, both of them, last year. Nearly let Max in 2 points for a driver that was 100 away. And now we now have to give the gaps all the way down to 100 because of that every time that we do the classification. So, yeah, I think Lewis looking for the opportunity that next year may provide.
You know what they say, never work with family or really close friends. And you sort of feel that Fred knows those two guys so well that it must be hard for him to tell either of them that he's going to prioritise the other because he's too close to it.
Indeed. I don't think it's workable to inflict that on... You can do long-term damage. You can do long-term damage to a driver's self-esteem and self-worth in a team and ultimately, therefore, performance if you slap them with a number two status. So I can see why Fred's desperate to avoid doing that, because you're going to put one of your drivers on the back foot if you issue that, because there have been people all the way through the year going, why are they not prioritising Lewis? Why are they not? Charles too far back, he's crashed too much, he's too far back. But he's the guy that, if Lewis eventually decides, he's the guy that's going to be with the team long term. They've chosen that, and so they've chosen this conundrum for themselves.
Well, Jake C, let's look at a couple of other teams before we sign off here. Pierre Gasly took that stunning pole for Alpine last time out at Monza. Any chance of another shock pole this weekend?
Chance of a shock race result, I think, just because of the nature of the racetrack and error generators, get a red flag at the right moment and you've gambled correctly with your strategy. You can get all sorts happening. I don't think we're going to get a shock pole. I was trying to think.
We're going
to
get an Alpine on pole.
I don't think we're going to get an Alpine on pole. But then no one thought that last week. So you never know what might crop up. But yeah, that was certainly one of the more remarkable dry qualifying sessions you'll ever see. But I think it's all about the race here. I think it's all going to be about, can you survive the big moments, and are you on the right side of the interruptions, like a virtual safety car, like a safety car, like a red flag?
And when you look at the midfield, what can we call them, rabble of you know, the teams?
I'm sure they'd be delighted with rabble.
the teams immediately behind the top four, you know, Racing Bulls, Alpine, Haas with their updates that they introduced last time out. It's hard to bet against Racing Bulls coming out behind, isn't it? Or winning, should I say, in that little battle.
It's such an adaptable race car that they've built. It's so adaptable to the different demands. Obviously, they're strong in certain circuits, but they I think, start where they have deservedly got themselves to, as best of the rest. But you are in a situation whereby I think Audi felt they were quite unlucky not to score points for the fifth race in a row. So I think they'll be close to the mix as well. But it's for the midfielders, for that bunch, getting it right, splitting the strategies, making sure that you can take advantage of if there's a red flag and you can, you know, not have to have a pit stop, you change your tyres under the red flag, making sure that you call it correctly if there's a virtual safety car. These are all things that reward your prep and reward the how deep you've gone into your possibilities. So it's one of those classics for a midfield that even if you're not having a great season, this is the type of place that if it's as chaotic as perhaps we think it might be, you can rustle up a seventh out of thin air. And for the midfielders, that's massive.
Do you remember that first race in Baku when it was the European Grand Prix? And we were saying, yeah. I think if we'd been recording this show on the Thursday of that first race in Baku, yeah, would have had a similar vibe to it, wouldn't it? Yeah. It turned out to be the most tame race of the year.
It did. But I think the reason for that is that the GP2 race that year that I was commentating on featured an 11-wide restart. And Formula One drivers are, you know, not short of confidence, but I think when they saw literally 11 wide on the main straight, because there was a little bit of confusion in that race where the restart point was. We weren't start finish line back then. There were safety car lines. A little bit of confusion about where the safety car line was. Leader got the wrong one. Multiple safety cars. Total chaos. As a result, I think everyone dialed it back somewhat to the point where nothing happened in that race. So if F3 and F2 is wild, then maybe the drivers rein it in. But if not, I want to see him fully aggressive. There's a big opportunity. If you're having a bad season, you know, Fernando Alonso scored points twice for Aston in chaotic races. He'll be believing.
Well, mate, I was going to say,
there's a chance.
Let's end it talking about the Spaniards. You think has he got a better chance than Carlos Sainz of getting in the points?
About the same. They need things to happen. If it runs to performance, they're nowhere. But he's got a home race, he's got a lot to enjoy, and chaos generator means that they could score a point.
Okay, well, Jakesy, final thing. Podium predictions. Difficult one, actually. It really is here, because, as you say, there could be that red flag chaos.
I think it's going to be... I think it's genuinely tough to predict this, isn't it? Because it's brand new. I'm going to go for Lando, Kimi and George.
That's crazy, because I actually thought, I'm going to do Lando as well. I think McLaren are going to come back.
Chuck
this
a couple
weekend.
Of corners in it. They look terrific.
And I think that lack of Mercedes development over the last few months is going to catch up with them eventually. And McLaren are going to lead the charge in terms of sort of undoing them. I do think, though, that we're going to get one surprise person on the podium. If it's on performance alone, I'm going for Lando for P1. I think Max will be there or thereabouts. And I'm going to throw in an Arvid Lindblad.
Wow.
Let's look at the expression on your face. But you know what I mean? Because someone coming through, having his Isaac Hadjar moment that he had at Zandvoort last year.
If he gels with a circuit, it's absolutely possible that something like that happens this weekend. Keep the shocks coming. We want the shocks to keep on just a bolter from the blue every time.
Jakesy, thanks so much for your time. Great to chat as ever. Looking forward to this one, I guess.
Cannot wait. Something new is great. We haven't had a new race for a couple of years, so this is going to be excellent.
In selected countries, you can watch all the racing with Jakesy's commentary on F1 TV and on Apple TV in the US. F1.com, the F1 app and at F1 on social media will also help to keep you across the action throughout the weekend. And do check out F1's other official podcasts as well. My guest on the latest episode of F1 Beyond the Grid is Aston Martin Global Ambassador and former McLaren driver Pedro de la Rosa. He was great. That's out now, and you can watch our chat on the F1 YouTube channel. And this week's F1 Explains is all about how the Madryn circuit came to life with Lawrence Barreto and the Madryn's chief operating officer, Carlos Jimenez. That's available on this feed from Friday. Thanks very much for listening. We will, of course, be back on Monday to review the Spanish Grand Prix. So speak to you then. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios. This episode is sponsored by Honda. Since its first Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix, Honda has always taken what's learned on the track and used it to build better cars for everyone. From pushing limits in F1 to engineering the next generation of hybrids like the Prelude Hybrid and Civic Sedan Hybrid, Honda proves that racing doesn't just inspire innovation, it drives it. And that idea of taking lessons from the racetrack and applying them to road cars has always been a part of Honda's DNA. Decades of engineering in the demanding world of Formula One have helped shape the performance and efficiency you see in Honda's road cars today. And now that same thinking is shaping the next generation of hybrids as well. Cars like the 2026 Prelude Hybrid and Civic Hybrid show that electrification can be both efficient and genuinely fun to drive. The 2026 Prelude Hybrid and Civic Sedan Hybrid are engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Prelude and Civic and the latest innovations at Honda.com.
Your vehicle doesn't just get you from here to there. It's a bridge to the people and places that matter most. It's how you show up for your family, your community, and everyone else that depends on you. That's why for 125 years, Firestone has been building tires with one thing in mind: to deliver products that are as reliable as you are. Firestone, always dependable since 1900.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Canetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. You know, I'm always looking for simple ways to make better choices, especially when it comes to food. Lately, I've been using Wise Code, the ultra processed food detector. It's become one of my favorite apps. All you have to do is scan a product and it instantly tells you if it's ultra processed. If I want to dig a little deeper, I can also see the nutrition quality and overall health quality before I buy it. It makes grocery shopping so much easier. I've got little kids, they're picky eaters, but it really allows me to find brands that are gonna taste good for them, but also make their bodies happy. You can download Wise Code on the App Store and give it a try today.